Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Certain writers, internet and print writers, who just don't want to give me an even break. You know, every time they write about me, they got to throw in some aside, you know. And the whole reason why any of it started in the first place was because I was the only guy in Los Angeles and maybe in the country who works in radio to have the courage. And it didn't take great courage, but I'm the only guy that said that the state of the radio press, people that write about radio, was bad. I don't mean anything against these guys. We don't have good radio writers. We just don't. We got guys who think they're funny, which they're not. We got guys who think they're journalists, which they're not. We got nobody out there that's really critiquing the radio scene at all. You know, we got wannabes. We got guys that wish they were on the air, but instead they got to write a column. You know what? That's fine, man. Do whatever you want to do with your life. But because you can't make it on the air, or because you can't get a TV beat, or because you can't get the theater beat, or you don't have your own column, or you don't own your own paper, or you're bitter because your cable TV show got canceled, doesn't mean that you need necessarily to take gratuitous shots at the rest of us who work in this business, who are working our asses off, who've made a living out of it, and have been doing it for like 3 decades or longer in some cases. You know, but it's always going to be like that, so what's the point? Why do I even bring it up? Why do I mention it? They're just going to be the same embittered little men that they are, and women. And, oh, God, some of it's just very stale. Very stale. Now, here's Henry talking about radio writers. Oh, my God, how dare you? How dare you? Hey, I know how much I suck in the eyes of a lot of these guys. It's fine. I got it. I got the message already. You can keep writing. Hey, keep writing about me. Keep spelling my name right. Whatever you want to do, all right? But I say something about them, and man, that's just, it's cruel. It's piling on. Well, okay, it's only piling on if people already know you blow, and maybe they do, in which case I'll stop. And there's some well-meaning guys out there, but it's just, it's sad. That's all. It's just sad. So why don't you guys give it up, man? Just pursue what you know you've always wanted to pursue, and that's trying to get your asses on the air doing something, a dog report, pet patrol, I don't know what. We had a great man pass on Saturday. I don't know how many people it'll take to fill those shoes. But I just felt it needed to be said. I stand up for my business. I stand up for the radio business. I like it. I work in it. I think it's a great way to make a living. I have a ball every day, man. I have a blast. Believe me, I love my job. And I happen to like the business, and I like the people that work on the air in it. And I have fun, and I take my shots. You know what? That's just the way it is. And I stand up for this business. I stand up for the people in it. And what we do on the air, we work our asses off. You want to sit there behind an old desk that somebody threw into your office from Salvation Army and peck out on your Underwood some radio column because you don't have anything else to do in terms of making a living. You don't have the courage to do what I do or what anybody else does on the air. So you do your little noodling there. And you think someone's reading it. Yes, we are. Those of us in the business, we do. You're right. Nobody else. But the radio geeks do. But just because I happen to like broadcasting, and I stand up for radio broadcasting, and I stand up for the people that work in this business, and I call a spade when it comes to you lightweights that write about it, you know what? Grow a pair. Suck it up like men and women and take it. And why don't you start critiquing this business the way it ought to be critiqued, the way they critique television, the way they critique films, the way they critique theater. Only in radio do we get this laundry list kind of review. Only in radio do we got the recycler. We got the shopping bag recycler, man, the one they put under your windshield, that kind of quality writing. This guy got fired, and that person's working here now, and this station's doing this promotion, and here are the ratings, and none of which anybody that works in this business that writes about it can read. It's like radio ratings, which are inaccurate and an exact science like any other rating. It's like some kind of a voodoo science to half of these guys. I was the guy that pointed it out. I said, I'm not going to sit down for an interview with some of these people. Now, every other schmuck that works on the air in this town and in this business, the minute a newspaper guy calls them up, they go running for the phone. Oh, where can I meet you for lunch? I'd just love to be interviewed by you. Are you going to do a piece about me in your newspaper? You're going to misquote me in your paper? Oh, fantastic. You're going to make me look like an asshole? Great. Yeah, bring your photographer in, take bad pictures of me, misquote the hell out of me, make me look like a raging asshole, and for that I'd be happy to meet you for lunch. So I say no to half of these guys. I don't talk to them. I don't feel like it. I don't think I have to. As a matter of fact, I know I don't have to. You know why? Because them writing about me, man, ain't going to get me one, and I mean one extra listener, not a one. And the rest of these guys want to, bend over, say, how far do you want me to spread and where's the Vaseline? Hey, that's your business. You do whatever you need to do, man. You do whatever you got to do to get your name, on the map. I don't, personally, I'd rather not. Now, these guys, and I won't mention any names, coming over here from this local TV station, they want to do a piece on the show. I says, well, no, you're not. I don't want you to do that. Well, we want to put our camera in the studio, Phil, and show you doing your thing. Well, no, you're not going to do that. Because, first of all, nothing looks more ridiculous in life than a guy doing a radio show on TV. Nothing. Nothing in life looks dumber than some schmuck sitting there with headphones on, looking up at the TV camera as they say something like, now let's go over to Skippy and Frank there on KS. Boy, you guys are really nuts, aren't you? Hi! And they look just as ugly as they sound. And, they got a T-shirt with some, maybe just a little sushi stain on the front. And the one guy's got some spinach shoved between his teeth. They just got back from lunch. They got all those station banners hanging up in the background. So these guys come over here, they want to do it. I said, no, I don't want to do that. And, they really want to do the interview. I said, well, only if you do it this way and that way. And they split out of here. That's the last we ever heard from them, right? You know why? Because they got back to the TV station. They thought about it. They said, we can't do this. You're right. You can't. See, all I'm talking about is having, a love for the business that I'm in to the point where I'd rather not extend myself too much to make it look ridiculous. That I would like to maintain some dignity, a little bit of self-respect for the entire business. I do what I can by turning down some of these interviews, by turning down some of these requests for television cameras being in the studio and saying, this is where I work, this is my house, this is, these are the tools that I use. And you guys, if you want to go make somebody else look like an asshole, then why don't you go down here and do another one of these, we're ripping the lid off the consumer kind of report, where you make some poor guy that owns a body shop trying to make a couple extra bucks and rip the lid off the fact that he's ripping off some old lady for 50 extra cents a week, you know? Like he's a real piece of crap because he charged some old bag 50 cents for a hubcap, right? Our consumer reporter tracked down this ass. Why not make it a dollar over here? Bug off. Grandma's bringing it in here, okay? She needed another hubcap. I charged her 50 cents. What a ripoff. You know those guys? Our consumer reporter. Who's that cat? That Judd McElvain dude? You know those guys with that Horowitz did it? Body shop scams tonight at 11, right? All those guys that do those reports. Am I the only guy that thinks that? I think those guys ought to be dragged behind a truck. I hate those guys. I'm not interested at all in their freaking report. Some guy out there trying to make a dollar. So the old lady's year-old car, I mean, she's got a car like from 1938, okay? So the guy had to run over to Russia or something to get a spare part for this thing. It's like a 1938 Packard. The only known carburetor for a Packard is down in South America someplace. Had to pull it off of Fidel Castro's car. It's going to cost a few dollars, Grandma, okay?
And I'm out of fixed income.
Well, and you shouldn't own a 38 Packard. I'm kidding. I know a lot of those guys are scum. I hope they all die slow, painful deaths with blood in their mouths. But occasionally there's a guy just trying to make an honest dollar. Well, the same goes for this here business that I'm in, this radio thing. And frankly, I'll continue to stand up for this business. I will continue to demand that they treat us as artists and not as assholes on the radio who read time and temperature and a public service announcement, and then let's get back to the phones. But there's some of us who do a little creating and put a little effort into what we do. And if you think that you're going to take this business of mine lightly and pass it off like it's some jive ass, like, you know, you could do it if you weren't writing your column. Well, you know what? You got a big shock in store. Because I listen to some of these cats that have columns and they also have radio shows. Oh, man. Jesus. And you know where they're on the air? They're on in L.A. General managers and program directors have put them on the air in this town. I worked my ass off to get to this town. And there's guys that are fresh out of, I don't know what, they're fresh out of the Pollo Loco, man. They're putting them on the air here. Okay, anyway, we're going to do something here in a second, which I thought was kind of interesting 10 minutes ago. I'm not so sure now. But I was, it was an interesting conversation I was having with the crew here, because I mentioned Seven. And we rented that the other night, hadn't seen it. And I watched it, and like within 20 minutes, the fat guy and his face in the spaghetti, I said, geez, you know something? This movie's boring. Not only that, but I'm reinforcing my opinion of Brad Pitt. I don't like watching him either. I think he's a good actor. But I just, everything he does is something wrong with the character. What are you talking about? He's a detective with a goatee and a leather jacket, and he lives in a pad that looks like it cost about a 250G. I don't know. None of it made sense to me. And then the fat guy pulling his face out of the spaghetti, and I laughed. It must have been not my kind of movie. I mean, it was supposed to be a scary scene. I'm laughing my ass off. And that whole thing with greed on the floor, where was that? In a police commissioner's office? Well, whatever, man. It didn't scare me at all. That's a lawyer? What's he doing sitting in the guy's... Anyway, a movie that people told me you should rent, you should watch. It's fantastic. You'll love it. It's Brad Pitt. It's Kevin Spacey. It's Morgan Freeman. Oh, my God. David Fincher. That's the guy who did Aliens 3. Oh, Phil, see it. I watch this thing. I turn it off in a half an hour. Why? Because I need some stimulation. I went out, you know, I popped some no-dos. I ran down the street, scored some coke. Went out and freebased on the beach. Anything to get the blood pressure up after watching Seven. What's the one that you hated? Oh, Taylor says to me, everybody told him what a great movie Mallrats was going to be. And he dry heaved. Mallrats. I watched that one. It's, yeah, you're right. You know what? Jay and Bob, funny, but not that. Not that funny, boys. And then the other one, Usual Suspects. Any movie I can figure out before the credits have even finished rolling, I can't stand it. Did it put me in an uncomfortable place? What does that question mean? And type faster, okay? We got a break to get to. From Mallrats, did it put me in an uncomfortable place? Don't know that line, man. And then train spotting, I didn't mind it, but my wife was sitting down to, I think it was guacamole, just as the dude was digging through the toilet for his suppository, whatever the hell that thing was. Maria was sitting down to a nice, big, gooey Mexican dinner as the guy was taking a dump in the dirtiest toilet in Scotland. And then the flick, I mentioned Usual Suspects. Now, the one that I want to see that looks really great that everybody recommended is Fifth Element. I bet you $500 right now, like a half of a king's grand, that movie sucks beyond all belief when I go see it. Fifth Element, because all I've been hearing is that it's great, Phil. I'll never forget this guy called my show once. He said, I'll tell you right now, the movie you should see, Mr. Henry, it is, you will love it. What's that? Gettysburg with Martin Sheen. Yeah. Oh, it's an Academy Award quality. I'm going to sit through 5 hours of that just to see Martin Sheen play George. What's the guy's name? Who's that guy that was on the horse? Robert E. Lee. Yeah. Wasn't Robert E. Lee about 6'5"? Martin Sheen's 5'1". He can't even get up on the horse. They're freaking, he's got two midgets picking him up and putting him on the thing. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Melissa just said to me that everybody told her, you got to see Erin Brockovich, you got to see Erin Brockovich. Or is it Brockovich? It's the difference between her being Polish or Jewish, isn't it? Erin Brockovich, whatever. They said, you got to see it, you got to see it. And Melissa came out, she said, that flick sucked. She said, no, it didn't suck. It was okay. And we finally figured out, well, the reason why everybody was raving about Erin Brockovich is they said, Jesus, Julia Roberts, she can act. She knows she really can. Go see Erin Brockovich. No, seriously. Oh, okay, whatever. And we go, oh, yeah, Julia Roberts can act. But you know what? The movie ain't all that great, at least according to Melissa. Now, I got to go see this thing because it sounds pretty cool to me. And plus, she lives out in my neck of the woods. So if somebody says to you, this movie is fantastic, you got to go see it, you have, I mean, and then you walk into the thing and you sit there, you think there's something wrong with you, right? Why the hell can't I like this movie? Everybody likes this movie. Like, something, you know, desperately wrong with the way I'm perceiving this phenomenon. That's what happened to me with Seven and Usual Suspects, and to a lesser extent, Trainspotting. And by the way, that's what also happened to me with Clerks. You know, Clerks has not aged well. Let's just be perfectly honest, okay? It was funny. It ain't that funny now. It ain't. Clerks. It ain't that funny anymore. But I mean, to say that, you know, you risk being called an asshole and every other foul and terrible axe murderer, a butcher, a rotten two-bit, no-good scoundrel, a blackguard. Clerks, you say it sucks? It ain't that good. And the other movie that I saw, which, frankly, then there's the ones that you rave about and everyone says you're nuts. I raved about Phantom Menace. I came running out of that theater and couldn't tell my friends quick enough, especially Jar Jar Binks. I love that guy. And I went and I told everybody and they went and said, geez, we just don't get it, Phil. I said, well, it's making a lot of money. Well, sure, we're going to go buy it, in fact, but we don't like it. So what the hell is with you people? It's making $800 million. I like that movie. Well, we hate it. Then why'd you buy it? I don't know. I came running out of that movie. I just love that thing. Another movie I told my friends about I thought was really good. It was way back in the early 70s, Papillon. Now I only realize that movie wasn't too good either. But I came running out of that theater saying, oh, you got to see it. You got to see it, right? I recommend Clockers to people. I think Clockers by Spike Lee is a great movie. But I tried to show my wife the other. She's half asleep. Within a minute, she's asleep. Because we generally, Marie and I will, like our Sunday night ritual is read in bed, okay? That's the big... That's the only night that we actually read in bed. The other nights we do one of two things. You guessed it, sleep or eat. Now, Sunday night is our big reading night and or a movie night. I said, baby, you got to watch Clockers. This is really good. Well, okay. You know, come on. I mean, it's a beautiful movie. Spike Lee, Harvey Keitel. It's just a great story. And the great thing is the whodunit. I really love these whodunits where you can't catch it. Come on, honey, watch this thing, okay? Well, all right. Well, naturally, it starts right off the bat with a lot of black people getting shot up in a gang style, like a liquor store holdup. That's put her off right away. Then here comes the hip hop. Within 2 minutes, she's... And I'm, you know, are you awake? And you hear the, yeah, I'm fine. You know, if they're staying awake to do you a favor, no, you don't have to do me the favor. Go to sleep. No, I'm why. It's good. I get it. You don't like it. Okay. So that's what happens to me. I never recommend movies to anybody they really like, you know. I mean, I tried to, is that how Gretchen was? With what movie? Mike Schaefer's wife, Gretchen. Man on the Moon? I haven't seen that flick yet. Why don't I have any interest to see that movie? Is it the same reason why nobody else had any interest to see that movie? What is that? You don't want to see Jim Carrey play Andy Kaufman? Thank you. All right. There you go. That's it. The reason why we didn't want to go see that movie is we didn't have any interest in seeing Jim Carrey play Andy Kaufman. Not that we didn't like Andy Kaufman, and even that we liked Jim Carrey, and he might have done a hell of a job. Guess what? I don't want to see him playing that guy. They're two different guys, two different styles of comedy, and he could be the greatest actor in the freaking world since Laurence Olivier. I don't want to see that guy mugging his way through that one. Thank you very much. Maybe I'm wrong. I probably am. All right, so if anybody had a movie that they had thrown at you as the greatest thing since sliced bread and you thought it was just total cheese, give us a call here at 1-800-449-8686. We're compiling a list. We're writing a book. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Greg's telling me, he's telling me about Sirens with Elle McPherson. Who else was in that thing? Everybody told you to go see that? What does that tell you about your friends? What does it tell you about your friend? Sam Neill in that thing? Boy, there's a guy that's uninteresting as hell, in my opinion. I'm sorry, I don't mean to. Well, he was okay in that submarine movie. Which one was it? Hunt for Red October, liked him in that, and I liked him in that Jurassic Park. I don't know. It's not about him. It's let's bag on the women for like we usually do. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, how about here's one. Here's the all-time, which I'm not saying it's me, Mike, because you turned me onto this movie, okay? But a lot of people had this reaction to Blair Witch Project. Like, what are you talking about, man? That movie sucked. It ain't scary at all. I thought it was pretty cool the first time I watched it. My wife told me to turn it down. She didn't get no scare. She wasn't afraid of it. She says to me, turn it down. Okay, Salt Lake City on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Phil Henry, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Show.
Thanks.
Good, thanks. Movie that sucked rocks. Mission to Mars. Just horrible.
Mission to Mars. Is that the one with Tim Robbins?
That's it, yeah.
Now, who was telling you this thing was great?
A couple of my friends. I mean, and I saw the trailer on TV. And I'm thinking, man, special effects. Neat movie. Got to go see it.
Looks cool, yeah.
Yeah, you know. Well, just watch the special effects. That's the whole movie.
But, I mean, two of your friends said you got to go see it because they saw it?
Yeah, they saw it. So I go to the theater to see it.
And they come back and they go, dude, you got to see Mission to Mars because this thing rocks. I mean, it's just cool. It's got a great plot.
Yeah, they told me it's got a good storyline. So no storyline whatsoever. I mean, the thing was just dry, drawn out, just horrible.
So you went back and told them what?
Told them they were crazy. Just well, I must have saw a different show than they did, but they insisted that it was a great show.
I ain't seen that movie. I don't want to go see that movie at all.
Yeah, don't waste your time.
Mission to Mars. I mean, it just smacks of one of those flicks. You know, Tim Robbins, he's needing some dough. I don't know. He wants to make another movie, so he needs some dollars like Orson Welles did. Okay, thanks a lot. Miami on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Phil.
Hi.
Yeah, meet Joe Black.
Ugh.
That movie blew.
Who raved about that?
All the women in my office. They're telling me, oh, it's so romantic, you got to go see it.
And you were in the mood for a romantic film?
Well, I took my fiancé to see it.
Meet Joe Black.
Man, I'm sitting there, and you know how you move all around in the seat when you're bored? She finally goes to me, do you want to leave?
She watched it? Oh, she watched it, huh?
Well, she watched it half an hour with me, and then she said, let's get out of here. Couldn't even sit through the whole thing.
Oh, Lord, Meet Joe Black. So you went back to the office and told the ladies, hey, you know what? I got a great movie for you guys, Lesbian Lingerie Party. It's no, really, seriously, give it a chance. Okay, pal, thanks.
All right.
1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Henry Show here. El Paso. How you doing?
I watched Titanic. That was the boringest movie that I've ever seen. Bad acting.
Everybody told you to go see it, too, huh?
Everybody told me to go see Titanic. I won all sorts of awards. I watch, a ship sinks. Big deal.
Everybody said go see it.
Everybody.
You got it.
Don't rave about that stupid movie.
What is your name, sir?
My name is Robert.
Robert, you got to go see Titanic. Oh, my God, you haven't seen it yet? You got to go now. Now. Go now. Go see Titanic.
Waiting in line.
You stand in line for like a day. You go in and, you know, if it's a crowded theater that day and there's been a little bit of Mexican food going on and then there's a guy breathing on you, maybe breathing clam sauce on you, and you're waiting for the movie to unfold, nice, big, romantic. You go see Titanic, you got to see it in an air-conditioned theater where there's like three people in there.
Exactly.
So you can get that ocean breeze feel, you know?
Well, I had 30 annoying infants in the theater that night.
Oh, and bring a kid in, too. I'm going to bring a kid in a dirty diaper into the next big blockbuster. You know, so that the diaper just stays ripe throughout the whole movie?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I was thinking, is it me? But then again, I read Kevin Tarrant from the LA Times. The headline for his review said, Titanic sinks again.
Yeah, I know. Well, there was a major controversy between him and the director, James Cameron.
Yes.
Where he basically said that Titanic was the beginning of the end of movies.
Yeah,
so,
Cameron's such an egoist, though. He wanted Tarrant fired for that remark.
And he should be. All right, thanks. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks a lot. So look at this. Here's a guy with a wise ass on Roland Heights. Clocker's a real piece of crap. I just got done talking about it, so he's like, yeah, you know the movie I couldn't stand. Here is Rosemead on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
How you doing, ma'am?
Okay, the movie that I thought that absolutely blew was...
Now, wait a second. But this is a movie that people ran to you and said you must... What's your name?
My name's Lauren.
Lauren, you got to go see this movie, right?
Yeah, they told me to go see There's Something About Mary.
And well, what was wrong with that movie? That was a fantastic movie.
I must have been the only person in my peer group who didn't find it funny at all.
Well, you're a girl, A, and all the guys you hang around with are guys, right?
Yeah, but even all of the girls I talked to thought it was hilarious.
You know,
I just didn't see it was funny.
My wife loved it.
Really?
Yeah, I was sitting there fidgeting, thinking like that guy was during time. I'm thinking, I wonder if this is a guy movie, and you know, and Maria's sitting there laughing her ass off. Said, well, you know, my wife, who likes got four kids, but you didn't dig it because it was crude or it was just like whatever.
No, I just because it was whatever, and I even rented it again to give it a second chance because I was like, I must be nuts.
You thought there was something wrong with you, right?
I seriously thought there was something wrong with me. Everybody I knew thought it was great.
Well, I'm going to do the same thing with Seven. See, I looked at that and I said, this sucks. There's something wrong with me. So we're going to see it again, and I'm going to try to get through the first like 15 minutes. You know?
Well, good luck, because it didn't work for me.
All right, thanks.
You goodbye. Too.
Okay, here we go. Roland Heights on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hello, Phil?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Okay. Well, you for real, man, you didn't like the usual suspects, but you like Clockers?
See, I figured out usual suspects about a quarter of the way through the movie. I couldn't figure out Clockers.
Oh, man. And what about the 70s, man? You don't like the music of the 70s?
The music of the 70s?
You gotta be kidding.
I like the music of the 70s, not the stuff they put on the 70s movie I didn't like.
Oh, okay.
What kind of music do you like from the 70s?
Oh, everything, man. It's hilarious, man.
Yeah, the 70s was hilarious. I agree with you there.
I mean, look at the afro hair, man, and the big collar and all the disco, man. That was fun.
The ABA...
Yeah.
The ABA with the big afro and the multicolored beach ball. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you something. You like the music of the 70s. Did you like Joy to the World by Three Dog Night?
Well.
I bet you liked Can't Get Enough of Your Love, Babe by Barry White, huh?
Yeah, Babe is great.
What? Babe? That's another movie I ran to see because everyone was recommending it. How about, do you like this music, The Hustle by Van McCoy?
Not really.
All right, see, I told you the 70s sucks. You just stick with Phil, man. You start rethinking things. The Hustle by Van McCoy. See, this movie that NBC has put on to show us the history of our times, Jesus, well, the cats that are making this movie, they were like 5 years old when the freaking decade was on. They don't know what was going on then. Nobody was into disco. Trust me, man.
Well, I don't know.
By the way, here's one of my favorite records. Okay, man, thanks.
No, you're welcome.
Bye. I couldn't stand... Oh, well, I like this one. All right, here's Culver City on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Good, ma'am. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Love this show. And the movie, I'm sorry, that blew the hardest, and they begged me to see it, was John Carpenter's Vampire.
Jesus, that thing came and went.
That was the worst. It was all cliche. Here's this Euro-trash-looking pale guy going through the desert. I mean, come on. You don't have a change of clothes? So, and then James Wood kept making these references to, I mean, I can't say it on the air, but he kept asking the priest, was he aroused? I mean, he asked four times.
Is James Wood's a vampire?
No, he was a vampire killer.
And he's asking a priest whether he's got a heart on or not?
Yeah, every time the priest killed the vampire, he's like, did you get
get an erection? Like, oh,
yes!
My God.
It was, I'm like, oh, you know what, Phil, I got to tell you. I mean, I made every excuse, and I was taken to see this film, okay? So if I had paid for it, I would have been really upset.
But
I made every excuse. I got more popcorn. I went to the restroom three times. It was horrible.
What if the theme to vampires was this? Would it have been better?
It would.
John Carpenter's Vampire.
It was, Phil, rent it. You'll love it.
Yeah, I got to do it. I mean, do it. I got to do the hustle. Thanks. A major motion picture. John Carpenter's Vampires. That's what you need. You need a frightening vampire movie, but it starts out with dance music. Okay. And don't talk to me about Love at First Bite. I know it was... John Carpenter's Vampires. From the director of Schindler's List comes Saving Private Ryan. Okay, I don't know what these people are telling me about movies that they thought sucked or that were highly recommended to them. Because that last lady there, nobody even mentioned Vampires by John Carpenter to me. Did you go see that? James Woods is a good actor. I mean, a terrific actor. But didn't he do that Mississippi Hick deal? He played James Beckwith. He played some assassin, and that kind of came and went. And then I read an interview with him in some magazine where James Wood is supposedly really hung, and that upset me and made me mad at him. And then I read another, I don't know, I hate him. With Alec Baldwin? What, vampires? No, James Wood in another movie about a, it was about some cross-burning. Yeah, courtroom deal. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
Arthritis sufferers, why live with the agonizing pain caused by arthritis? When
steroids, because you can. Tyson. We're chicken. Quality chicken. Tyson. It's what your family deserves.
Officially, I think that movie bit and yet bit again. What do you mean the all-American football kind? They couldn't even say NFL. They couldn't say Super Bowl. The Pentium Trophy instead of the Super Bowl Trophy. They had to, in other words, fictionalize so much stuff. It wasn't even, and the teams were all phony baloney like the Miami Sharks. And Al Pacino, are you kidding me? No, you ain't no Vince Lombardi, pal. Because Vince Lombardi at least had a wife and kid, and he, like, you know, didn't divorce. He's living like a loser out on a $85 million house on the beach and drinks too much. He loves the sport. The game's passed him by. Yes, it has. No, it hasn't. And then he finally quits after the team makes it all the way to the Pentium Bowl, and he takes over the job of head coach of an expansion team, which means it's going to be 5 years before you win. Maybe you got a good deal. I don't know. The whole thing just bothered me. I'd rather listen to this.
I've heard people say it.
Then again, maybe not. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Mission Viejo on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Total Freaking Recall. What was up with that movie?
What is that flick? Is that that Schwarzenegger movie?
Schwarzenegger. That thing was so far-fetched. That blew donkey balls, man. That was just hairy.
You guys, Craig, you saw that thing. What was that about? What the hell was that? He's going back in time.
Yeah, they take his brain and they change his memory out, and he's pulling boogers out bigger than testicles.
So in other words, so your friends told you to go see this?
Yeah, and
they
told me, "Oh, you gotta take this chick. She's really into Schwarzenegger. Take this chick, and she'll really dig you for it." Man, I had a walk out.
Well, they picked the movie and a chick for you, huh?
Yeah.
What's up with your life at that time? They picked the girl. They picked the movie. Did they dress you? All right, pal. I got you. Get out of here. Here is La Jolla on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil,
Hi.
How's it going?
How are you, sir?
Fine.
Great.
Thin Red Line. Worst movie
yeah.
I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Terrence Malick hadn't done a movie in 7 years, and I know why. This was like a gay war movie. The first 20 minutes was a guy swimming in a lagoon with naked Native boys.
Oh,
it
my God.
All these big stars set up for it.
Yeah.
They were in it for 20 seconds. Literally.
You know, I saw a little bit of that on cable. And there was Nick Nolte with the contorted face going through some kind of overacting exercise. And
I couldn't understand a word he was saying.
Yeah, I didn't understand what he was saying. He's going, "I'm telling you right now, you have to take that mountain." "No, sir, I will not." I mean, like, it's like that happened, you know? Like, you got Marines in the South Pacific in World War II, and they're giving each other crap.
And George Clooney was in it for 2 minutes.
Well, that's the one saving grace. No, I'm kidding. It probably would have been better if he'd been in it longer.
Definitely.
What do you think?
And you're right. Disco sucks.
No,
at your age, I don't know anybody who listened to that.
No,
crap.
Disco's fine. It just was not part of the 70s as much as they say it was. Anyway, thanks for calling. And now, Northridge on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hi, Phil. Communism is, in fact, neat.
It is. Thanks.
Love the show.
Thanks.
Listen, a movie I was recommended because Meryl Streep was in it. She apparently, you know, practiced violin for 45 years before taking the role. It was Music of the Heart.
Yeah, she really... Music of the Heart, huh?
They played Jeremiah was a Bullfrog at the end in Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, with the blood started coming out of your nose then.
Well, you know who directed it?
Who?
Wes Craven. I should have taken my cue from that.
Bull crap.
Wes Craven directed that movie.
He did.
It was like 2 hours of Saved by the Bell without the charm and the humor.
Well, Maria, my wife's dragging me to see that, so I know what to expect. I'll just take something, yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
Thanks. All right, to the strains of Barry White, here's one more. Salt Lake City, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am.
I was told to go see The English Patient, and I thought that was a yawner.
Yeah, they've probably told you it was a good movie for a woman to see, huh?
I just romance.
Blows, doesn't it?
I always try to find romance, and nothing is, I haven't seen one thing I like yet.
Try it in real life. Huh?
The real life?
Real life romance.
Oh.
Okay. Albany on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good. Jerry Maguire.
Oh, you didn't like that?
Had to be the worst ever.
Oh, my God. I love
First
that
of all,
flick.
Looking at Tom Cruise's face that big for that long.
Oh, yeah?
It's very upsetting.
Is he too much of a pretty boy?
Oh, and then it was so unbelievable that he had no friends but this one girl, but then they used his looks during the whole movie, so it made no sense whatsoever.
God, everybody I know loved that.
Oh, and I sob at movies, and they were trying to pull heartstrings with a little boy and everything.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, do I need popcorn now?
Oh. I wept. I wept openly in that film.
Oh, God, now that was so unbelievable because they didn't care about that boy.
I feel like a fag now that you're telling me this
horrible.
Story. Oh, my God. All right. Okay. Okay, I'm deballed. How about you, Craig? You feeling pretty bad? Thank you, ma'am.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We don't like that movie anymore. I can't get enough of your love, baby. But we do like this song. Girl, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know why. I can't get enough of your love, baby. Oh, no, baby. Girl, if I could only make you see and make you understand. Girl, your love for me is all I need. That I can stand. Oh, well, babe, how can I explain all the things I feel? You've given me so much, girl, you're so unreal still. I keep loving you more and more each time. Girl, what am I gonna do? Cause you've